All right, let's turn to Revelation 14. For those that attend the Adventist Church, is absolutely probably the most dominant chapter that we like to dwell on. So let's do a little reviewing. We talked about the first angel's message, second angel's message. Tonight we're going to start with the third angel's message. But let's go back to the first angel's message and bring us up to date very quickly. So would somebody read, start with verse 6. Chapter 14.
And I saw another angel flying through the heavens carrying the everlasting good news to preach to those on earth, for every nation, tribe, language, and people. Fear God, he shouted, and extolled his greatness, for the time has come when he will sit as judge. Worship him who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all its sources.
Okay, very good. So, what did we ascertain is the essence of this message? There's two things: fear God or respect God, and the next is the hour of His judgment is come. What is there good news about that?
This battle can be over.
Okay, the battle can be over. That is good news if you're on the right side.
It's tough out there. It's tough being in a battlefield.
Yes, it is. Okay. So what else is good news about this? Having the eternal gospel. What did that mean? Is this a new gospel?
Same gospel.
Same gospel from ever. From the heaven to the end of heaven. It's always the same gospel, which is the love of God. A God who cares, a God who loves. The eternal gospel to preach to those on the earth, everybody, and saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory, because the hour of His judgment is come. What did we think? What does the word fear God mean? That's the key word in this first angel.
Respect, honor.
Okay. Can you respect without loving?
I think so.
Yes.
Pardon?
I don't think so.
I got a I don't think so, and I got a yes. That's why I like discussions. Okay.
Well, in my parlance, respect comes first.
Pardon?
So in my parlance, respect comes first.
Okay.
Does respect come first?
Okay. All right. Respect comes first. What other comments?
Sometimes I think of respect as an outward behavior, whereas love is more of a heart thing. I mean,
okay,
just right off the top of my head, that's how I would think of it.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Well, if you think in more the world terms, not just towards God, you can respect, like they have in the military, you can respect officers and stuff. That doesn't mean you love them. You respect them.
Okay. Very good point. Any other?
I can respect my enemies. I definitely don't love them.
Okay. Any other comments?
Clear word says honor God.
Okay, we're going to come to that one in a minute. So do we like the word respect when it comes to fear?
I like it better than fear.
Okay. What would be a better word?
I like the one I always use.
What's that?
Honor.
Which one is that?
Honor.
Honor. Oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood. Okay. All right.
Now, you made a mention of loving enemies. Now, Mordecai wouldn't bow down to Haman. That was an act of loving Haman. He honored Haman by not bowing down.
I thought about it after I said it. In a perfect world, we're supposed to love everybody.
Okay. All right.
Well, isn't that when it says love your enemies, though? That, isn't that respect? If you go back to the original on that, isn't that what it says?
Okay.
It doesn't mean that we're,
doesn't mean we like them.
I have several kinds of respects. I think of a respect where it's a respect, fear respect, and then for me there's a respect, love respect.
That's true. I mean, especially if you're speeding, you get that fear respect.
Exactly.
I know all about that. I got a speeding ticket.
And did you respect that?
I showed a lot of respect for him.
Yep.
And he still gave me a lot of respect.
Okay.
I still have respect for him because he was doing his job.
Yeah.
No speeding.
Right, on this side of the equation, on the sitting on the couch, they like the word honor. So I have no problems with that. But what comes before honor?
Trust?
What does that mean? You have the right answer over here, but I don't think they heard you. So No, you have the right answer, but let's develop it. What does trust mean?
Trust is a lot of things. It's having faith.
Okay. Okay. What's the key element in order to trust somebody? Okay, now what did you say? You have to know them. Now this lady from Temple, right? Looks like a very nice lady. She's been in our Sabbath school class. She's here. Can I trust that lady? Pardon? No. Thank you. You've helped me. No. Can I trust her? If I gave Charles $1,000 and asked Charles to hold it for me and give it to me in 2 years, do you think I would lose 1 minute sleep?
No.
No. Why?
You
know him. Had a relationship. When his kids moved in, I loaned him hundreds of thousands of dollars to get him past that. No. I have a relationship. Can I trust this lady from Temple? Pardon? That's right. See, I might be able to take your word, but I can't trust her. Why? I can hope. I could have faith. Could have her word for it.
Maybe that's where fear comes in.
Well, see, fear's the wrong word.
What's the root word? Where does that come from in the Greek? I mean,
The word means to have respect of knowing somebody. So a better word for that is get to know God, and then you can honor Him. Sometimes we have it turned around in our theology, in our preaching. It's like we need to honor God so we can get to know Him. You can't do that. You just can't do that. See? So, pardon me?
It says, honor your father and mother.
You know them. See? So, everything, even Diane's word, everything balanced. There's no way that I would have trust that this lady would hold my $1,000 as I would Charles. There's just no way. That's the message we have to take to people. The eternal gospel is to get to know God. Not to get to know a bunch of rules, not to get to know a bunch of things about Him, get to know Him. And when you get to know God, then what happens? You want to give Him honor. And how do you honor Him? Pardon?
Obeying Him. Obeying what He wants of us.
Okay.
Share your joy.
Okay, let's go back to obey. That's an interesting word. What do you mean by that?
Well, God tells us some things that He expects from us in the Bible. And the way we're to behave, the way we're to treat each other.
Okay. Okay.
So we honor him when we carry out what he's asking of us.
Okay. Do you want to say, I got a hand back here?
I know obey is such a legal word. You probably sending up all kinds of flags for everybody.
You are close. That's why we're going to look at that word. Okay.
We honor him by returning the love that he gives to us.
Okay. I believe that. Jim, do you want to say something?
Well, I kind of keyed in on what you said about we share our joy. And I keep coming across the word prophesy. When the Holy Spirit moves on people, they prophesy. And I see that as an expression of joy, of gratefulness, and thankfulness.
Okay, I think they're all right.
What was great by trusting him also?
By trusting? Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
What's the root word in Greek for...
Remember, I got a C minus. Remember, I got a C minus in Greek. Keep that in
it.
Bobe.
Uh-huh.
What would you think it is? I know what it is, but what would you think? If you just had to guess.
Doing?
Okay.
He suggests.
Okay. That's what most people would think. Do. The actual word means a humble willingness to listen.
So that takes away the negative context.
Takes away absolutely the negative context.
Because the word we have.
And that's why, and you're right, when you say obey, when I hear the word obey, what's my natural, and for those that know me, what's my natural inclination? Well, no. I was automatically want to go the different way. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, see? And this is why the third angel's message has to be looked at and deciphered in the context of Revelation, because it really is good news. It's the best news. But boy, if you want to use it as a hammer, then you have a message here you can hammer all day. And that's with obey. Certainly, we honor God by obeying. But if we understand trust, relationship, that obeying becomes not as important in the sense of doing. My daddy made me brush my teeth. And I used to get spanked if I didn't brush them, back when you could actually hit people. And so, I brushed my teeth this morning. Now, why?
Right.
Pardon?
Yeah.
See? The dentist has shown me the errors of my way when I didn't brush them. So, I didn't brush my teeth today to obey my daddy. He doesn't even enter into the equation. I realized a long time what he said made good sense. And so I chose to brush my teeth. See? And sometimes we put God in that aspect of, well, we have to go to church. We have to do this. It's as if we get up every morning and read a list of things that He said to do. Well, this is what He gives us when we're children. He wants that relationship to move on. Yes.
Because if we do the have to, we'll be like at the end of time where people said, I've done all these things, and He says, depart.
Says,
you didn't know me.
Yeah, they said, Lord, we've done all the, we've healed, we've preached, we did all these things. He says, depart. The Greek there is a very touching statement. What He really said was, I'm sorry, we are not friends. We were never acquainted. And yet they said, man, we did all these things. Yes, ma'am.
When you were using the analogy of giving Charles money as opposed to Mary Lee and how you would feel, doesn't that make you a wise person to do that, so that when you look at somebody and you say, I respect you there is some weight and it mm-hmm. has meaning rather than just throwing the word around.
Yes, yeah. You
and we're supposed to seek God and find Him like a treasure.
Yes.
Because He will be there.
Yes. God works with us, I believe, just like we do with children. I mean, He brought the children of Egypt out of slavery into a desert. They had no concept of who He was. They were in rebellion, and He sat down and He gave them a bunch of laws. And some of them, when you look at them in words, just seem very bad when you have to sit down and say, do not steal. Do not kill. Do not lie. Well, that's what we do to children. Do not play in the street. But we want that relationship to evolve to, as we get to know God and we become and we see what He is like and His power works in us, we don't have to get up and read a list of rules every morning that says, well, now let me remind myself, today I will not lie. It becomes natural with us. And this is what the first angel's message is. Take the eternal gospel, the gospel of love, and preach it and tell people to get to know God so that you can respect, honor, and trust Him. And sometimes we take this, especially when we get to the second one and the third one, if we get to the third one tonight, hope we do, but we get the other two, and then here comes the hammer. You better obey God. You better honor Him. Because Babylon has fallen, and if you don't, you're going to get the mark of the beast. And sometimes that's what the third and three angels' messages are presented as, almost threatening. Well, you better do this or here's the consequences. I don't see that in the three angels' message. I see it as a positive. If you get to know God, and then, as Ms. Walters said, you know, the good news is the battle's over. Battle's over. Any comments? Any questions?
Now, if we are God's representatives, then we have to be open to establishing the same kind of relationship with those around us that the Savior establishes with us.
Absolutely. That's why, obviously, the cross and the resurrection is the central point of Christ being on His earth. But boy, those 3.5 years is almost as important, because what He did was to illustrate what a relationship with God means and how it is, how He dwelt among people with that relationship. It's the greatest textbook we have on evangelism, is the way that Christ worked those 3.5 years. Nothing's changed. If He came down to this earth today, one of my favorite questions that often get me in trouble is, if Christ came to this earth today, in Arlington today, how do you think He would present the gospel? How would He? Would He go right on TV? Would He have a radio show?
As time went on, maybe, but I don't think He'd start out there.
I think He would walk the streets and see all those poor people that don't have homes and talk to them, work with them.
Would He build why wouldn't He build a big church? See, He has all these modern things at hand. Why don't you write a column in the newspaper every day? Pardon?
He's a relationship God. He built relationships. He got to know people. and they therefore they knew his character firsthand and could tell of it.
Okay.
I mean, I can see a lot of people on TV and think, boy, that sounds great, but I don't know their character. I don't know them.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a little different from back then to today, though. If he was walking down the street back then, people saw him and would go follow him and listen to him. They might go from here, sit down, and Cooper might turn around and come back. But they were in cars and buses and planes. We're too fast. We don't have time to go and listen to anything anymore. How would he reach us today?
Okay.
He had a relationship with people close to him, but a big part of his ministry was healing people of their illnesses. It doesn't seem like he really had a relationship with the woman crawling up and touching his garment. Walking past people, they heard of him, they knew of him. Did they know him? I don't know.
Okay.
He did preach to big songs, but if I understand it correctly, because he had been in the community and people were curious about him, they came to him to hear what he had to say. He didn't have to go and beg people to come because they had already been touched by him.
Okay.
They were curious about him and about his what he said.
You bring up a very interesting point. And his big throng preaching was not particularly successful. After he fed those thousands of people, there were people there, including the disciples. They said, now's the time. He's going to be the king, and we're going to smear those Romans. Why, if our soldiers get hurt, he'll heal them. If they're hungry, he'll feed them. We will conquer the world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think most of us would follow him if he came today, because his message would be to love everyone. That was his message.
Okay.
I don't think we're capable of
that. Let me ask you this question. When Jesus began his ministry, how many people do you think he set out to convert?
He said in Gethsemane, he said that I finished the work that you've given me to do. I've shown your character.
Comments?
His success by baptisms.
Well, he had to report in. They had to write that report every month.
When he started out, how many people did he set out to convert?
He didn't set out to convert anybody.
Well, you keep saying that.
Well, he had a special interest in a few. He really wanted to get his message across. He really wanted a few people to grasp who he was, so that when he was gone,
salvation by selection.
He had favorites.
He wanted to explain his father's love.
Pardon?
He wanted to explain his father's love. He said, everything the father told me, I have told you.
And then once they grasped the big picture after it was all over, and the Holy Spirit came and moved them, then they went out and they started doing their thing.
Okay. I think.
But there was an education process.
Yes.
They did have to go on before they went out.
That's
not to say that they were not supposed to learn to act and love in loving ways along the way today, but there was a time and a place for them.
Well, he wanted his
You're correct.
People
yes.
to tell the world.
Okay.
Doesn't say convert, because that's another situation, but he said, show my character to God.
Okay. What was the motivation?
Just to know the Father.
What does that? What? Okay. Yes.
Christ.
At the age of 30, he starts his ministry. He's baptized in the River Jordan. Now he says, start my ministry. What was his motivation?
To reveal his father.
He says that straightforward. I'm here to reveal my father.
Okay. Okay, what does that mean?
Well, prayer motivated him.
But it's more.
He sees a leper, ten little leper boys. What was his motivation in healing them?
Elevate.
Pardon?
Elephant.
Oh, elevate.
Elevate.
Very good. I stumbled on that word the other day, let alone at prayer meeting. Yes.
Define convert.
Well, you define it.
No. She asked first.
I think part of what he was showing, though, when he was doing the lepers, is that he was also showing us that we should, like, not abandon the weak and sick, that we should, elevate, but, I mean, be close to them, and that the power that we have with each other, in each other's lives, I mean, we have that power to do for other people. And okay. I don't think we even know that. Okay.
When Jesus healed, was he calculating?
Well, then lepers were a scourge. You shouldn't come near them. The Sanhedrin had already told you, if you go near them, you're unclean. Mm-hmm. And you cannot come in the temple. I mean, that was enormous.
Well, we've read that whole villages were healed by it.
Right.
Katie tried to get this thing very personal just a minute ago. Christ not only revealed the Father, he revealed himself to those who were around him. Mm-hmm. And that is what he instructed us to do, to reveal ourselves to those around us.
And he didn't discriminate. He knew only one was going to come back of the lepers.
Okay. So what does that tell us that we're supposed to do in this world?
Self-revelation.
Not count how many people we convert.
Pardon?
Not count how many people we're trying to convert.
What is our motivation?
To reach our hand out to everybody.
To? Jesus cared.
Yes.
He understood that if he went wherever he could and people were to accept him, his first thing was he cared to show them compassion.
Yes.
It was not to convert. It was not to baptize. It was not to get into the church. It was not a calculated, if I do something good, maybe they'll respond. He cared. And so when he healed the 10 little leper boys, they all ran off. One of them said, "Guess it would be nice to go back and thank him." We don't know if they were converted. Certainly he wanted them to know more about God. But his motivation was not to, if I do something nice, here are my return. So I used, if Leroy was here, he'd back it up. Leroy and I used to do 5-day quit smoking deals many moons ago. What was our motivation? Baloney.
They get charged in the church. Numbers.
What?
Numbers. Did they have them baptized in the church?
You better believe it. Better believe it. It wasn't as cold as that, but that was the end result. If we do this, we can break it down, and then we have an opportunity to get Bible studies. And because they'll live longer, they now will be longer tithe payers.
That's pretty cold.
Sometimes,
all true. I mean,
sometimes religion is cold.
Yes, amen.
Yes, ma'am.
Revelation seminar, but then they go over eating and jewelry and baptism, and other things that have nothing to do with Revelation. And I thought, why don't they call them Revelation seminars when it's basically get you into our church, tell you what we believe seminar.
Well,
who else is going to listen to our 27 fundamental beliefs?
See? Who else do you do that? We have a tremendous message to offer. But it's all about God. It's not about doctrine. It's all about God. Jesus went about doing good because he was moved with compassion, and he certainly wanted to reveal God to everybody, and he did. Some looked, some saw, some were converted after the crucifixion. But he did not go to with an idea, if I do, I have a chance to convert. It was the way he was. And if we become the same, the message will go. Now, I appreciate what's said. I think if Christ was here today, he would work in the same aspect as he did then. Because he could use any means he wanted to. He is the Creator. He could write his message across the sky. He could use any means he wanted to. He used the most humble of any. And the biggest times he was in the temple was when he was running out the sinners. He went among the people. Now, what means he would choose that today, I don't particularly know, but I don't think that we would find Jesus 11 o'clock on Channel 5 tuning in to see what he has to offer. If he did that, then I guarantee he would have a group of people that for the other 7 days would be ministering to people everywhere. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, somebody can tell you that they love you, but if their actions don't say it, that's your first requirement.
That's right. And so our task is, and I'm going to respond to what you said. You, you